know that there was no rain? Not only were there no nations or no governments, there was no rain in Adam's day. No, you didn't need umbrellas then. The umbrella was invented until Eon 2. Eon 3.
Duh.
How do I know this? Am I a genius? No. Well, yeah, I am, but that's not the point. Genesis 2, verse 5 says that Elohim does not bring rain on the earth. That's right. Humidity came up from the earth and it irrigated the surface of the ground. Verse 6. There was a lot of water under the earth and above the earth, and I'm telling you, whoo! That's right. Remember I told you there was a canopy of water above the earth in Adam's day? That's because when God put that atmosphere in there, it separated the waters. Where's that? Verse 6 of Genesis 1, become shall an atmosphere in the midst of the water, and coming is a separation between water and water. Interesting, huh? And coming is it to be so, and making is the Elohim, the atmosphere, and separating is he between the water which is under the atmosphere and the water which is above the atmosphere. That's right. There was a canopy of water above the earth in Adam's day. That's why people lived a heck of a long time back then. You got Methuselah, a guy who lived longer than anybody, 900 something years. People lived an ungodly long time back then. Well, for one thing, this canopy of water diffused the sunlight. Think about it. You have a canopy of water above the earth, and the sun doesn't come directly through it and beat down on the equator like it does today. It diffused it. We had a nice, even type of temperature in those days, and it was a lot better than today when you have the sun beating down at one place, and you have these extremes in temperature at the poles and the equator. I don't think you had that back in that day. I don't think you did because of this canopy of water. But anyway, this canopy of water, I think, was prepared by God for the day of Noah. And remember, what provided all this water in the first place? The disruption did. The cataclysm between eons 1 and 2, when the earth was made, became a chaos and vacant. God provides for all this stuff. Oh, besides that, there was water under the earth. Yeah, I told you that the humidity came up from the ground and watered things. Well, there was a submerged chaos, Genesis 8, 2, and being held in check are the springs of the submerged chaos. See, there was a submerged chaos. There were springs, huge amounts of water under the earth at that time, and the crevices of the heavens, and being shut up is the downpour from the heavens. This is when God stopped the flood waters. He shut the downpour. But man, the water poured in from the atmosphere. This wasn't your average rain, folks. It just flooded in and the submerged chaos broke up from underneath and water covered the whole earth. Yeah, it was a worldwide flood because all flesh that was on the earth perished. Very, very, very plain there. Do you think the ark was made of gopher wood? No, that's a King James goof up again. Well, I can't blame him for thinking it. The root there is G-P-H-R, gopher, gopher. Yeah, hard time putting four consonants together there, folks. G-P-H-R, with the ending I-T-H, though, which is what we find here, it's sulfur. It was sulfur wood, not gopher wood. What the heck is gopher wood? There's no such thing as gopher wood. It was sulfur wood. Apparently there are certain trees that have a lot of sulfur in them, like the fir tree, the redwoods in California. Sulfur is a great element. I was looking it up on the internet today. This is the it boosts resistance to disease. People back in the old days soaked in sulfur springs. It really was a decontaminant. People used to burn sulfur in rooms where people had diseases. It was a real disinfectant. In fact, it's an essential element in your diet. They say in this article that it's really underplayed, but the ark was made of sulfur wood. And this is a beautiful thing because it pictures God disinfecting. It pictures more of God bringing a cleansing to the earth rather than in his anger destroying it. This is like the colon cleanse, right? It's the sulfur. And this word sulfur in the King James Version is always translated brimstone, fire and brimstone. That's a King James word. It's fire and sulfur. Sulfur is a disinfectant. and God uses it to cleanse the earth like I do with my desk sometimes. Remember I told you sometimes I clean my desk, I put my forearm there and just kind of swipe. Well, I guess that's what God did at the crisis of Eon 2, and he's going to clear the board here. But he does it very calmly and with rational purpose, and he makes it as painless as he can. I mean, you know, God doesn't torture people. You might get upset. Well, God caused the flood, killed a lot of people. Yeah, well, he didn't torture them for eternity, did he? You think that's bad? How about the doctrine in Christianity, eternal torment? Yeah, God's not like that. All right, he needs to take care of business and teach lessons. And again, the people who died in the flood are going to rise again at the great white throne, and they are going to be reconciled to God, and they learned a heck of a lot while they were on earth. You know, thank God now that this mortality doesn't go on and on and on. God is merciful, and that he stops it. Someday, you know, unless the Lord comes, we're going to die. And this is a mercy. Because in God's wisdom, we grow decrepit in this life. I hate it, but it's in God's wisdom because we are to have no confidence in the flesh. The only way you can have no confidence in the flesh is if your flesh deteriorates. And there comes a time where you're known as over the hill. That's a horrible, scary term. What it means is you're heading toward the grave. And it's a needed preparation for the glories which are about to be revealed. The eons to come are going to be glorious eons. I told you we're in hump day. The weekend is ahead. The weekend's ahead. The kingdom eon and the eon of the new heavens and the new earth. And you're only going to love it. And it's going to feel so good only because of the hell we've been through here. And we see a picture of it every night when you go to bed. You feel really tired starting about 6 p.m. You start to wind down. You curtail your social calendar and you begin to set yourself at ease because you're getting ready to turn out the lights and lay down. That's a picture of death, isn't it? It's also a picture of the crises at the ends of the four eons leading to the greatest eon, eon 5, and that itself is leading to the consummation. It's a laying down of the former in order to take up the latter. And the latter is always better than the former. We're looking forward to the weekend. In God's calendar, this is hump day. Love that truth. And so the sulfur wood is typical. It's a type of a cleansing, and we are in this ark, metaphorically speaking. Now, Melody and I, in 1993, I did a really radical thing. I came to a crisis in my personal eon. I was transferred by God from a personal eon of working at the Postal Service into an eon of working for God. And this came with a crisis, as all eons do. In between the eons, I had to tell my parents that I was leaving the Postal Service. And it was a time of fear, and God overcame it for me, but I did hit the brick wall of fear. And it was, there was indignation coming against me from various parties, thinking I was crazy. What is a guy with a wife and three kids doing quitting a reliable job with good pay to go out into the great unknown, into the wilderness, to teach about God and rely on God? And I walked out, I fell onto a new world, into a new eon. And so I remember the weekend, I waited till a week after I quit before I told my parents. I did it for their benefit. I was just like God, right? And I regretted what I had to do. It pained my heart, but it had to be done in the big picture. And so I broke the news to them. Hoped it wouldn't kill them. Hoped they wouldn't drown in the floodwaters of my revelation. But the revelation was, I've been unemployed by the Postal Service for a week now, and I am now employed by God full-time. I have a plan. I'm going to write a newsletter. And, you know, my wife and I tried to do the smart thing. Melody and I, we got dressed up in nice clothes. This was also the weekend of our anniversary, the week after I left. I left the post office on October 1st. My anniversary was October 15th. And so we were going to spend the weekend in Canton Ohio, where my parents lived. And so we had a room booked at the Signature Inn, I believe it was at the time, in North Canton. And before we went there, we stopped at my parents' house, and we looked pretty snazzy. My wife looked awesome in this form-fitting red dress. My dad's eyes popped out. I know he thought she looked really good, and he probably envied me at that time. He always said I was the luckiest guy on earth. Melody looked great. I didn't look too bad myself. I had a suit on. That was pretty rare for me. We looked sharp, and I think this helped when we put across our news. Unbelievably, my parents did not freak out. My dad said, I always knew you could write. I think you can write. And my mom said, you know, I once quit a job. And my wife, Melody, and I were just sitting there looking at each other from the sides of our eyes like, is this really happening? Are they really being this cool? Anyway, we were there for about a half hour. And then we drove to our hotel. I think it's the Comfort Inn now. It's in North Canton. It sits on a hill above the Denny's, if anybody knows. I think it's on Whipple and Everhard Roads in North Canton. It looks like an arc. It's long. It's got a little taper on top. Anyway, we went there, and we had what I would consider a really miraculous experience. Now, I've told you before, I don't rely on these experiences. I don't want supernatural things to happen to me. I want to slog through by faith so that I'm stunned by sight when Christ comes. Nevertheless, we were at the beginning of an amazing time in our lives, and we were sealed in this room, and something happened as we turned on the television. We started flicking through the channels like you do, you know, and we started seeing the people of the earth, people of the world, and people on these TV shows were laughing and crying and all the things that you see as you flip through the channels. And God spoke to us in his own way as we were watching this, that the inhabitants of the earth are in turmoil. There's fear and there's death. It just looked like a chaos to us. And it's as if we could see beneath the skin of these people into their bones and their skulls. It became really apparent that this was humanity. And it was in trouble. And God whispered to us in his own way, not audibly or anything like that, I am sealing you now. And it felt then like he was sealing us into an ark. And it seemed to us that these people outside that we were watching on the TV were clawing and screaming and straining to get in. But they couldn't. They couldn't get in. God said, I'm sealing you. I'm going to do a work with you, Martin and Melody. You are mine, and I'm going to cleanse you. I'm going to purify you. I'm going to bring you to myself. And we thought to ourselves, what about these other people, Lord? And he says, their time will come, but not now. Turn it off. And we turned off the television, and the people disappeared. And it must have been like in the days of Noah. Nick builds this huge boat. What a work of faith. When you see Noah, you see a man of faith. This man is spending years building a huge boat on dry land. He's a type of faith. He's a type of Abraham. He's a type of Christ who was doing a work in his day that no one understood in the midst of the evil. Christ comes and he talks about things that nobody's ever heard of. He talks about a kingdom that is not of this world. And Noah did the same thing. He's building a boat in the middle of dry land. And people came by and they laughed at him. He was ahead of his time. He was a man of faith like Abraham the same way. I'm going to make you a father of many nations, Abraham. Abraham looks around. He has no heirs. He waits hundreds of years. But he still retains his faith in God. He believes God. And Noah believed God. God told Noah, he intimated to him through his father Lamech, I think, that a stopping was going to come and that he was going to prepare eight people. Eight is the number of a new beginning. Did you know that? Seven is the number of perfection. That's God's number. Six is the number of man. 666. It's one short of perfection. And when God perfects things, he brings a new beginning. Eight is the number of a new beginning. It's also the number of Christ. There's no accident. It was no accident. There were eight people preserved in the ark. It was typical. The ark was covered with pitch. I didn't get into that. That's where they get the word propitiatory shelter. It was a sheltering covering, literally, in the Hebrew. The pitch that they covered the ark with. It was a safe haven. It was a safe place to be, but you had to trust it. You had to believe God when you were building this crazy thing. And here, Melody and I were in the midst of building this crazy thing called ministry that was going to help people in this wicked eon. And it was going to be ahead of its time. We were going to tell people things that they'd never heard before, that God was at peace with the world. He was conciliated, that He's not crazy, that He loves you, and He's not going to eternally torment people. He's in control of everything. He even created the evil for a purpose so that you can appreciate the good when it comes. God has a big calendar. He's looking at the end. And all this, God was sealing us. And it's like we could hear the door closing. Slam. And these poor people outside. And we said, God, what about these people? He said, you've got to leave them for now. I'm going to bring them in eventually. But for now, I need you. I'm sealing you. And that's what Noah had to do. He had to ignore the clawing and the scratching, the pounding on the door. It's not time for them yet. And that's what I was telling you last week. When your friends and family don't believe, there comes a time after a first and a second admonition where you have to let them go. And you have to trust God that He's going to come back for them. That's what God told us. I'm going to come back for them. Don't worry. But now I'm concentrating on you. Now you just tend to me. Pay attention to what I'm doing with you now. And stay focused. Set your affection on things above. I know your folks are looking now today. I'm going to bring it into today now. You're looking at events in the Middle East. And my God, it's terrible. What's happening? Well, I'm telling you what's happening. There are pangs coming upon the earth. You shouldn't be surprised about it because we're reaching the end of Eon 3. And if you look at the end of Eon 1, the then world, and you look at the end of Eon 2, the ancient world, they always end with a cataclysm. And there's another one coming, and God is setting it in motion now. While this is going on, I don't want you to become disquieted and to lose your peace. You're being sealed. Let the things of the world go strangely dim. Deaden the members that are on the earth. Deaden the news. Deaden the newspapers. Deaden the commentators. And you just tend to God inside the ark. He's covered you. And the ark is typical of Christ. Your life is hid together in God. And so that is where Melian and I came, and we're still riding this ark. And it's above the waters. We're protected, and you are too. We're in the world, yeah. We're still rocked by the water. Noah still smelt the stench of the animals, and he felt the rocking of the waves. We're not out of it. We're in it, but we're not of it. Because we anticipate a new world coming, a world of righteousness where God dwells. In spirit, God has even taken us beyond the kingdom eon, and we're going in spirit onto the new heavens and the new earth. 1 Corinthians 10:11 says that the consummations of the eons have attained to us. Everything that God is working toward at the consummations of the eons has come to us in knowledge, in realization. We see the big calendar. And because of that, we have a peace that surpasses understanding. People look at us, where do you get off not worrying about this? Where do you get off not watching the news? Where do you get off not being disquieted by events in the Middle East? Because we're in the ark, and we know that the turmoil today is not the end. And God is going to use us in the oncoming eon to reach the rest, to reach the people He's not reaching now. God has a big plan. I want you to see it. I pray that whatever stumblings I have gone through this week, that I hope that has helped you to see it. And if so, it's by the grace of God. You are people of faith, and faith denies perception. But the day of perception is coming when faith won't be needed. And I look forward to that day with you. God bless you. This has been Martin Zender.